from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 5th. Coming up, COVID-19 outbreaks at meat processing facilities sent ripple effects through many rural towns. The third and final stories in a series from Side Effects Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers are scheduled to return to Springfield today for an abbreviated start to the session. Leaders canceled 2 days of session this week because of concerns over rising COVID cases. Tony Arnold has more.
State legislators are already working on a condensed schedule this year. Normally they work through the end of May, but this year they're scheduled to wrap up several weeks earlier, in part so they can have time to campaign back home in the weeks leading up to the June primary election. But with COVID cases spiking once again, the legislature may turn to meeting remotely more often. Back in August, WBEZ surveyed every state legislator about their vaccination status. Most said they had received the vaccine, but several House Republicans and a handful of Democrats refused to answer the question. There are no vaccine requirements for state senators and representatives. I'm Tony Arnold.
Lose weight, make more money, or get more sleep are a few things some people resolve to do in the new year. A Northern Illinois health expert says most individuals forget about one thing, their mental health. Danielle Angelari is the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Health Northern Illinois. She says journaling can be used as a mental health check tool.
So maybe you're writing one thing a day that you're grateful for, or you're writing down your feelings just to kind of track those and see like what's helping you, what's hurting you, and building coping skills around those.
She says this practice can highlight the things a person cannot tackle, which may prompt them to ask for help. Angelari says NAMI offers support groups for those who are seeking that extra motivation. More information can be found on the organization's website. It's been another tough winter for Central Illinois hospitals. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Carle Health is now postponing some elective surgeries in Central Illinois as COVID-19 hospitalizations reach a pandemic high. OSF's Urbana Hospital has not reached that threshold yet. Deborah McCarter is a vice president at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana.
If we face an expected post-holiday influx, we may have to delay some non-emergency procedures and surgeries if it comes to that.
Non-emergency procedures are ones that patients schedule with doctors a month or more in advance. Unlike OSF, Carle has started to reschedule non-emergency surgeries. A Carle spokesperson explained that hospital staff are already stretched thin. The delays in surgeries are intended to reduce that strain. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Public health officials reported nearly 600 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County yesterday. The number of active cases hit another all-time high with more than 5,100. Four more residents in the county have died from COVID-19. Two males, one in his 50s and another in his 80s, along with two females, one in her 70s and another in her 80s. The countywide death toll is up to 232. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 144 people hospitalized with COVID-19, down by 10 from yesterday's pandemic high. 23 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, the third and final stories in a series from Side Effects Public Media on how the pandemic continues to affect rural towns with meatpacking plants. That story from Natalie Krebs is next on 217 Today.
RFDS is a gripping drama that tells the story of the modern-day heroes of Australia's Royal Flying Doctor Service. This fictional series is based on real-life adventures, and it follows the service's pilots, doctors, and nurses as they navigate their turbulent private lives while they attend to emergencies across the Australian outback. Watch this and other international dramas like Seaside Hotel and Thou Shalt Not Kill with WILL Passport. Learn how you can stream today at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. COVID-19 outbreaks at meat processing facilities sent ripple effects through the rural towns where they're located. Many of those communities are still recovering. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs takes us to Storm Lake in western Iowa.
Amelia Marroquin has seen firsthand just how much Storm Lake has changed in the past 2 decades. On a driving tour of the town, she points to a building out the window of her car.
Even the only Mexican restaurant that was in town, over there in the corner, there was white people running their restaurant.
Marroquin is a native of El Salvador. she moved to Storm Lake from California in the 90s. She and her husband got jobs at the Tyson Foods plant, the economic center of the town, which employs thousands. It was a harsh work environment. Marroquin says she quit after just a few days.
So I remember the second day I was crying. I said, I'm not coming back to this place. I don't like it. I hate it.
Marroquin started a new job with the USDA, learned English, eventually picked up a high school and college degree. She's now one of many immigrants who proudly call Storm Lake home. Like many meatpacking towns in the Midwest, Storm Lake is much more diverse than the areas that surround it. Here, more than 1 in 3 residents identify as Hispanic or Latino. Nearly 1 in 5 are Asian. Nationwide, COVID-19 disproportionately affected communities of color, in part because the U.S. relies on immigrant workers in food and agriculture. They never stopped working, even as other businesses shuttered. One research study found the presence of a meat processing facility increased the county's per capita transmission rate by up to 160%. The outbreaks in Storm Lake hit the town's Micronesian and Latino communities particularly hard. At the United Community Health Center, Dr. Natalie Schaller wipes tears from her eyes as she reflects on the past 2 years. Many of her patients are plant workers and their families.
You know, honestly, just a part of being in this community is knowing and loving some of the people who struggled the most and ultimately passed away.
At St. Mary's Catholic Church, Deacon Hector Mora assists with the church's weekly mass in Spanish. Mora, who's originally from Mexico, was a supervisor at the Tyson plant before he left to work for the church last May. He says many workers were really scared.
I used to tell them, just calm down. I know we have a bad situation, but don't let these fears be controlling you all the time.
The impact of COVID here is ongoing. Local officials say it's been particularly hard for children, the majority of whom are learning English as a second language. Superintendent Stacy Cole says many students are showing signs of extended trauma.
We know our kids are reporting anxiety, depression, all of those types of things that you see when people are struggling with their mental health. We are seeing that at a very increased rate.
Cole says this year the district invested more into mental health resources like virtual therapy. But health officials say the town needs more support for public health programs, especially ones that meet the needs of diverse populations. As hard as it's been, residents here are also resilient, says Emilia Marroquin.
If you have been going through other worse things, adapting to COVID will be something that you find a way.
She says that's because many immigrants, like herself, have learned resilience through starting life in a new country. I'm Natalie Krebs, Side Effects Public Media.
This is the final story in Side Effects' three-part series on the effect of COVID-19 on meat plant workers. Find the full series at IllinoisNewsroom.org. This project was funded by USC's Center for Health Journalism. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says windy and colder today, with temperatures falling into the teens by late afternoon. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Tony Arnold, Yvonne Booz, Emily Hayes, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulveen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.